God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. God said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. It says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 through 12, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through your wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. Now, it doesn't say when you'll suffer. There's no expiration date on God's word, as you know. And the fear of the Lord. We should fear God's judgment in regard to the wars we wage. We should make sure that they're godly. I am not of the belief that the war that we are now fighting against Iran, and we are fighting Iran, we are at war, is godly. Because we're funding Iran. We're funding their army and their creation of drones that just killed three of our troops. That's your money. We're also funding Israel. That makes us arms dealers. There's nothing godly about that. The troops that are fighting, I support without reservation a bit because they're doing what they were called to do, which is to defend us and to take orders from the commander-in-chief. We don't have a commander-in-chief, but we have a command structure. It would be nice to know who is actually commanding that. But the troops in the field would be dishonorable if they did other than to follow orders, unless those orders are illegal. And there are military statutes governing that. They should be obeyed. But we, the citizens, who have some say into who's in the Oval Office, some say, should in fact really fear God's judgment for how we view this war. Now, we can't earn redemption. We know that. That's a gift freely given in the blood of the Lord Jesus. When we accept him as Savior, Messiah, King, we become baptized and we act like we believe he's king of our lives, and therefore we should seek his wisdom in regard to this war. It should be obvious why I mention it, because we're at war, though we're told not to say we're at war. It would have been Friday, I got a note from a special operator friend who sent me text and said, Intel says our targets in Iran and Syria and Iraq have relocated. They have moved the assets we would seek to destroy. It's almost time for us to issue a retaliatory strike, but not until the stock market closes on Friday. And the strikes came in Iraq and Syria after the stock market closed. 85 targets. I wonder how my friend, the special operator, knew that was the case. Oh, I don't think he had any specific word from the people who run Joe Biden that that was the case, but he knew because he's been in the business for 30 years and he's observed it. We should be fearful of the Lord's judgment. We should seek his wisdom. We're funding both sides of a war in which our people are fighting. We're also being told that we cannot prevent American troops from fighting in Ukraine unless we give them more money. We'll talk about that. Of course, that's tied to a supposed effort to secure a southern border, which we don't have. We don't have a southern border. We must speak truth. Sometimes those truths are hard to speak. So we'll get to that as well, hopefully in this segment. I've got so much to say to you today. MSNBC knows who's to blame for the newest war in the Middle East.
Ben, I've been thinking all day that back when we had that, what was called the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, and people, a lot of people had beef about it. They thought it wasn't the best deal around. I always thought the one thing that it does do is it gets America and Iran around the same table. Something that hasn't happened, something that we haven't had in place when October 7th happened and we needed to use influence over Hamas, and something we don't have tonight.
That's why this all happened. Of course, the reference is to literally Hitler orange man Donald Trump, who didn't send illegally, who did not illegally send $6 billion to Iran. That was Barack Obama, who did it illegally, and Joe Biden, who did it illegally. $6 billion given back to them. Or if you view it a different way, given to them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Seems like lawless times, though, doesn't it? This is a non-declared war. Oh, it's just an extension of the other wars that they didn't have to go to Congress, because that's so messy, having to have debates about whether Americans should be sent to die or whether we should fund both sides of a war. After all, there's bipartisan support for this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to not become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching, allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. I don't believe figurehead Biden is proclaiming himself to be God. I don't know that the people who run him are proclaiming that, but I know he's lawless. The disappearance of our southern border, the decision to fund both sides of a war, the tearing down of borders to guard the states from invasion, when the Constitution says the federal government shall protect the states from invasion, the decision to flood our cities with illegal immigrants so as to increase their electoral college heft, that's part of the calculus. And of course, eventually their kids and grandkids will vote. It is obviously an insurrection. Oh, it's not violent. Well, that is, unless you're one of the people who's been killed by gang members or by drunk drivers who are in our country illegally. And let's not forget, it's not about race. It's about attitudes and behaviors that you import, that you sponsor. Mike Johnson is, I believe, a godly man. I believe he follows the Lord Jesus. And he said that this border bill is worse than expected. Dead on arrival, $118 billion price tag goes to Ukraine and Israel. Oh, wait, I thought this was about our southern border. No. This so-called bipartisan bill, and it is bipartisan, negotiated by James Lankford, who is an alleged Republican from Oklahoma, $60 billion in military aid to Ukraine, $14 billion in military aid to Israel, $20 billion to secure our border. But only so much. It's still to allow about 2 million illegal immigrants every year. Mitch McConnell is in support of this, of course. There's also the $2,334 million, that's $2.3 billion, going to non-governmental organizations who are being used to secret illegal immigrants all around our country in an effort to shift the electoral college heft on behalf of very, very liberal, leftist, in fact, satanic cities. And Satanism is spreading throughout the cities. My wife and I were in a city this past weekend. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. And we saw a sign above a door of a bar that was staffed apparently fully and completely by men dressed as women. And you know the sort of women they're dressed as. This would be the part Jessica Rabbit, part adult, or I should say pornographic performer, not actress, but performer. The sort of women that a very, very confused and sad 13-year-old boy might fantasize about, that type. We saw a sign over the door that said, resist everything but temptation. The cities are fallen, and God is one. And he's showing us side by side. Here's the hardest to fail, past fail test in history. Speaking of cities in New York City, where a so-called judge is contemplating banning Donald Trump from doing business for life, the corrupt prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, refused to explain why he released illegal immigrants apparently caught on camera gang-beating cops.
Why were they released? Why were those first migrants released?
Bragg, can you please respond to those who say that this looks like a kangaroo court?
One comment, sir. Why? Sir, you're on behalf of the people. Can you just comment on the situation?
No, why would he? He has his really muscled up, and give them some credit. Those guys are yoked. His security personnel, big muscly dudes, yoked to the teeth, no doubt armed all over the place. As the great man Alvin Bragg waddles along behind them, refusing to comment on this. Oh, just an update. Daniel Patrick, the Marine, the retired Marine, he's still facing prison time. Because a man was on a subway, a very, very mentally ill man, threatened to kill everybody. And that man simply held him down. And unfortunately, the would-be assailant died. The cops, thankfully, didn't die, who were beaten by four illegal immigrants. But of course, the illegal immigrants have been let go. This from Fox News this morning. New York City mayor wears a $700 scarf under a bulletproof vest as migrants behind violent cop attack roam free. Thankfully, the mayor has that vest. I don't know how he afforded that scarf, though, because he says he's a victim. In times of universal deceit, telling the truth is an act of bravery. We're living in lawless times. I think Satan is, well, I know he's creating his political alliances, his political party, his political army. I also think he is normalizing things, test running, if you will, such as paving the way for the lawless one. After all, if lawlessness is commonplace, it'll be so much easier for the lawless one to take the stage. If people have been ground down into always following what government says, it's going to be easier for the lawless one to do whatever he wants. I think Satan understands the value of dry run rehearsals. Back to the media and their reporting on immigration, illegal and otherwise. CNN's Erica Hall doesn't understand what laws are for.
So what the detectives are telling me is they have crews here that operate in New York, do all their stealing, then go to Florida to spend the money and then come back. And I'm like, well, why don't they just stay and steal in Florida? And they said, because there you go to jail.
Oh. Great report. Keep us posted on this.
Erica Hall was stunned, speechless, after asking, well, why they operate in New York, do all their stealing, and then go to Florida? Why is that the case? Because they'll be arrested in Florida. Phenomenal. We have a difference here. You know, I live in the high mountains of free America, which I call North Idaho. And it's pretty common knowledge. We enforce laws here. So criminals choose. I live near the state line. I'm right now speaking to you from near the state line, just down the mountain, this where you cross over into Washington State. It's literally a different world. Why? Because if you shoplift at a Walmart over here, you'll be helped out of the Walmart pretty instantly and into a police car. I've watched it happen two or three times. If you shoplift in the separate country of Washington, you're likely just to walk away. Particularly if it's in Seattle, you will walk away. Unless you're shoplifting more than $1,000. Lawlessness. And the lawless one. We'll talk more about this as we continue. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. New York Times went and did it, didn't they? They put out a piece from an opinion columnist named Pamela Paul. As kids, they thought they were so-called trans. They no longer do. They didn't say the so-called part in their article, but you will never hear me address that word without saying so-called, because it is a lie. It is so, so vital that we never allow the lies of the enemy to escape our mouth unedited. Please, please commit to that. These are black magic words, truly magic words. Because if you went to someone and said, my son believes he's a dog, therefore, we are going to have him be accepted as a trans species being. He's trans species. And we're going to have canine teeth installed in his mouth, and we're going to put him on drugs to grow fur on him and teach him to walk on all fours. You would have those people tossed into a mental asylum. But when you use the black magic word trans, boom, blah, it's compassionate. It's brutal. And I just spoke in the last segment about my belief that Satan uses dry run rehearsals. There was a dry run rehearsal for 9/11 that James Woods, the actor, who's since, of course, been disappeared from acting, he's very active on Twitter and very thoughtful and sometimes very vociferous and even a little bit rude. Great, though, at Twitter. Very intelligent man. He was on a flight, I believe, from Los Angeles to Las Vegas or so, and he witnessed what appeared to be a dry run for 9/11. As the plane took off, Middle Eastern men stood up and approached the cockpit, and he later informed the FBI and the CIA, of course, learned about this, and they did nothing to stop it. Both agencies knew this was coming. There's a great book about that called The Looming Towers you can read. Another is Dereliction of Duty. It was a dry run. I think Satan is taking dry runs. If they can convince you, Voltaire said, those who can convince you of absurdities can get you to commit atrocities. Slightly paraphrasing, Satan knows that. He knew Voltaire. Voltaire knew him. Well, I think that's what we're witnessing here. But the New York Times ran this piece. It was just a few weeks ago, I guess three, that my wife and I helped another family escape. Yep, we helped them secret their son out of one of the western states at midnight for a six-hour drive to Wyoming. We helped because we had to, because that boy was being told at school he was a girl and the pieces were in place to get him out of the house. So we secreted them. Yeah, it's like an underground railroad. We had very little to do with it. We simply arranged some housing and then gave some legal advice through a lawyer that we know. That lawyer's legal advice, well, it was, one parent will have the kid, the other won't. One parent will know where the kid is, the other won't, until we get a standing from CPS, until you establish residency in another state. These are real times. Well, that's an edge case though, right? The New York Times writes this piece, now things are going to change, right? No, because the New York Times is still buying the lie that transgenderism is real. Let's quote from this piece. Grace Powell was 12 or 13 when she discovered she could be a boy. Boom, they've lost. You could write as much as you want after this in this New York Times editorial, and it doesn't matter, because you just had the lie come out of your mouth. No, she could not be a boy. She could be mutilated to look like one. Back to the piece. Growing up in a relatively conservative community in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Powell, like many teenagers, didn't feel comfortable in her own skin. She was unpopular and frequently bullied. Puberty made everything worse. She suffered from depression and was in and out of therapy. Quote, I felt so detached from my body and the way it was developing felt hostile to me, Powell said. It was classic gender dysphoria, a feeling of discomfort with your sex. No, it wasn't. It was classic puberty. Gender dysphoria begins, for real, if it's actual dysphoria, at the age of two or three, with confusion, an inability to understand the difference. and a questioning of why don't I have female parts? I'm a girl. It begins early on. This is a social contagion, as we've been talking about for 6 or 8 years. So no, it's not classic gender dysphoria. It's called rapid onset gender dysphoria, ROGD, and it happens to teen girls. This is how far behind the New York Times is on this. ROGD has been a known phenomena for 7 years, studied academically and very real. It's been known as a social contagion for 7 years. Back to the piece. Reading about transgender people online, side note, there are no transgender people. Powell believed that the reason she didn't feel comfortable in her body was that she was in the wrong body. Side note, no one has ever been born in the wrong body. It is a physical impossibility. You are your body. Your body is your mind and your body are wrapped around your soul. You decide where your soul goes. Back to the piece. Transitioning seemed like the obvious solution. The narrative she had heard and absorbed her was that if you don't transition, you'll kill yourself. That's a purposeful lie started in, my opinion, hell, and transmitted through the Human Rights Campaign out of San Francisco, one of the most deeply satanic bodies that's ever existed, run by one known pedophile, four billionaire families working behind the scenes to con some politicians, and in my judgment, to pay others off, all from San Francisco. If you want your kid to live, you have to mutilate your kid. Again, I go to the example I used earlier. Our son says he's a dog, so we're going to turn him into one. But there's that magic word, trans. At 17, desperate to begin hormone therapy, Powell broke the news to her parents. They sent her to a gender specialist. Gender specialist. Who, of course, me, side note, ran a brain scan, did a blood test, amassed some organic evidence that, yep, your daughter has a female brain or a male brain. Yep, that's the problem. Of course, the gender specialist did nothing of the sort. Gender specialists do one thing. They say, yes, you're right. Just like you would to a kid who says he's a dog. Yes, you're right. In the fall of a senior year in high school, she started cross-sex hormones. She had a double mastectomy the summer before college, then went off as a transgender man named Grayson to Sarah Lawrence College. No, she didn't. She had not become a man. She'd become a mutilated girl. She's at Sarah Lawrence College, where she was paired with a male roommate on a men's floor. At 5'3", she felt she came across as a very effeminate gay man. No, she didn't. People can tell. At no point during her medical or surgical transition, Powell says, did anyone ask her about the reason behind her gender dysphoria or depression. She didn't have gender dysphoria. At no point was she asked about her sexual orientation, which doesn't matter. At no point was she asked about a previous trauma. And so neither the therapist nor the doctors ever learned she'd been sexually abused as a child. Of course she had been, because 90% of girls who later want to pretend to be a boy are doing it for protection, to no longer be a victim again. And it's getting worse. Why? Because of a porn-soaked culture and a world that has been moved away from God's plan for parenting and for marriage and for what happens sexually between adults. Quote, I wish there'd been more open conversation, Powell, now 23, and so-called detransition, told me. But I was told there's one cure and one thing to do if it's your problem, and this will help you. If you've listened to this program for any period of time, you've heard me describe kill shoots, kill shoot behaviors. There's only one solution. We have to transition the entire country to electricity, because there's only one solution. Natural gas will kill all the children. Nuclear will kill all the children. Petrol will kill all the children. We have to move everything to electricity, or all the children will die. And once that change is made, then they're going to come back and go, oh, hey, look. Oh, look over here. We've got something called turbo diesel. It's a very, very powerful petroleum manufactured with carbon dioxide. That gas we've been telling you is very, very deadly. There's only one solution. And it's always the most radical, and it's always that which removes the most freedom. Always. Satan is doing his dry run rehearsal to the lawless one. It's my assessment. You could apply the same scenario, the kill shoot scenario, to COVID. And you can apply the magic word theory. My theory about magic words is they stop all debate. Because people have been so programmed to believe magic words have only one direction you can go. Wait, you've not had your kid vaccinated? Against what? Against all the things. Which things? All of them. All vaccines are good. Even the ones that are deadly to all too many people? That's not true. They're vaccines. Vaccines are widely tested. Vaccines have to be specially approved. No, you're wrong. In fact, the opposite is true. If you take a drug and slap the word vaccine on it, the companies are free to do as they wish and pay no costs. Magic word. Trans, that fake lie word, is a magic word. My son says he's an octopus. We're going to have tentacles installed on him. You're nuts. No, he's trans species. My daughter's a boy. We're going to have her cut up and have a fake penis put on her. That's brave and stunning and compassionate. Magic words. Gay is a magic word. I use the phrase same-sex attracted because it conveys a temporary state, a feeling. Hey, if you have same-sex attraction, look at that. You've been attracted to another human being. Is it sexual? Okay, then it's same-sex sexual attraction. Is that who you are? No, it's something you're feeling. Maybe you should explore why you're feeling that. God's design is for men and women to be married. Maybe you should explore that feeling, since, of course, the Bible calls out that people who practice homosexuality, practice, not experience, but practice, will not have a share of heaven, just as people who practice adultery will not enjoy that share of heaven. Maybe you should explore that. I mention the word gay because of this. From Revolver.News, noticing something that came up on TikTok, well, via libs of TikTok, a same-sex attracted dad has his kids appear in a TikTok where they talk about giving him sex toys as bracelets and then taking them to drag shows. These kids, there's three of them, appear to be two of them under 10. And they're discussing giving their dad sex toys to wear as bracelets. Or maybe he's giving them to them. Yes, he's giving them sex toys to wear as bracelets. And they discuss this openly. The kill shoot behavior is this. The word gay is magic. Therefore, you can't criticize that man. Why, he's gay. He's one of a marginalized group. After all, love is love, except it's not. It's not. There are four types of biblical love. Love is not, in fact, love. It varies in its beauty. It varies in how it's expressed and felt. And it varies in how it should be treated and how should we respond to it. 27 states and Washington, D.C. have banned efforts to change sexual orientation, sometimes called conversion therapy. And yet, there is a new study. The study shows that people can, in fact, change their sexual orientation. University of Southern California health researcher John Blasnich, this came out in 2020, sexual orientation change efforts, adverse childhood experiences and suicide ideation attempting among sexual minority adults. It was published in American Journal of Public Health, used data collected by the Gallup organization. With that data, they correlated the number of suicidal ideas, thinking about suicide, other suicidal behaviors. They correlated those with whether a person had ever been a victim and found that a person who had these suicidal ideations had twice the rate of suicidal thoughts were 1.7 times as likely to attempt suicide, and yet they shifted the data incorrectly. What we know now, as you study the data and you study the reports about conversion therapy, is people can, in fact, change their sexual orientation because it's a feeling. Same-sex attraction is a feeling. It's not you. It's not your identity. It's not who you are. It can be addressed and changed. I encourage you to read the entire piece. It's available at the Daily Wire and elsewhere. Magic words. I think Satan loves them. Canadians' health minister, the health minister there, has invented a new euphemism for killing people. Canada's health minister has described purposely killing patients with a new euphemism. Well, the euphemism isn't going to change the fact that it's killing. We'll tell you about the phrase they're using next. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Just if you just joined us, you're talking in the last segment. In fact, sometimes God puts me in a position where I didn't understand the theme of the show until it began. And the theme of the show today has been about how Satan uses magic words as he constructs his political base, his army, his politicians, his political party, his dry runs towards lawlessness. And he is, well, in my judgment, straight right along the line to the dry run to the lawless one. We've been talking about how lawless people use made-up language, magic words, such as the word trans, which is a lie, but it's magic. After all, if a kid is trans, so-called, then you got to chop them up. There's only one solution. Uses magic words like racism. It's a magic sin. Because only some people can commit it. Black people can't be racist. It's impossible. Unless they're straight black men. We'll talk about that tomorrow. That's a real thing, a real phenomena. You'll hear it tomorrow. So I'd mentioned last segment that Canada's health minister has created a new euphemism to describe doctor-assisted suicide. It's one word. Want to know what it is? Relief. Relief. That's how they're describing killing you. Relief. Now, honestly, it would be a relief to have the Lord Jesus come back, wouldn't it? I don't know what sort of relief it would be to have your last act be murder. I don't know. I know that the Lord is anxious to forgive, and there's people who fall into terrible despair and end up taking their lives in a moment of despair. And I think that the Lord probably welcomes many of them, understanding how crushed they were. But a nation that doesn't even call it killing, that calls it relief, a euphemism for ending your life before you can come to the Lord Jesus in too many cases? Man, that's exactly what Satan wants in the use of magic words. Black is a magic word. In leftist society, in a satanic society, black people shouldn't have to be on time because politeness is whiteness. And if you doubt me, wait until later this week. I'll show you proof that politeness is being referred to as whiteness. It's been the case in the separate countries in the West Coast for about 6 years. You know the black national anthem? There isn't one. No, I mean, you can name a thing, anything you like. After all, everybody agrees President Trump made America great again. It's right there in the name. Just like trans women are women because it says they're right there in the name. The black national anthem doesn't exist. There's a song that you can call that, but there's only one national anthem because there's only one nation of America, unless we want there to be a new civil war, and many do. But what would happen if during the black national anthem, what if a white player took a knee and was later asked, why'd you take a knee? That's the black national anthem. Well, because I'm sad to see this pretense that we have two nations here. We have one nation that's purposely being torn apart, but I'm not going to participate in it. The NFL, for all their pandering to the races, I think they're blind to what they're really doing. Money has a great way of blinding people, doesn't it? On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babeling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babeling.
So there's a funny, funny comedian, Stephen Colbert. He talks about why women support figurehead Biden.
No surprise, the credit really goes to women voters. Biden leads among women by a margin of 58 to 36%. That's right. Hey, ladies. Hello, ladies. That's right. The ladies love Cool Joe. They love my store-bought smile. They love the shades. They love that thing where I'm the last one standing between them and the Supreme Court putting a GoPro in their uterus. They love it. Watch those babies spelunk out of there. I'm serious, folks.
Ha, that's pretty funny or something, right? The women that are supporting this, I wonder how they would feel if they knew that Joe Biden probably raped his daughter. I mean, Ashley Biden, in her diary, which is confirmed to be hers, wrote that her dad would come and shower with her, and she wasn't sure it was appropriate, and so she showered late at night to prevent it from happening. I wonder how they'd feel about that. Or if they ever saw the footage, because many of them haven't, of Joe Biden molesting girls right in front of us, reaching in front of a girl's chest and squeezing her nipples. And she later said, yeah, he did that. But yeah, camera inside their uterus, that's exactly what we're seeking. Have they stopped to reflect upon the fact that as women, that man, or the people who run Biden, would look you in the eye and say, hey, you're a transphobe if you don't want that man standing next to you in a shower right at the next spray station, right under the next nozzle. What are you, a hater? That's the first of three sound bites in our Tower of Babeling segment, where we celebrate God's decision to place wise people like Stephen Colbert on high tower so we can see human wisdom is nothing. Second sound bite. There was a woman who'd been harassed by so-called transgender protesters throughout her testimony. She got kicked out of the Colorado State House for saying sex matters and gender is nothing.
You know, sex matters, gender is nothing. It means nothing. Sex matters. It matters in prisons, it matters in sports, it matters in my bathroom. So the person this bill is written after is literally an admitted former prostitute. And other
Mr. Chair, I'm not
and that. And he works with that. Children. He works with young boys. You know, they do burlesque with.
Don't forget too many warnings.
You know what? This is my time. I let them speak. I let them speak. I let them spill their about gender.
Okay, we're done.
That was the word that got me in trouble. But I can get up here and lie about the reality.
We're done.
About reality. These people are lying.
You know what?
Trans is not
you can
there is no such thing.
think as trans.
What I'm going to ask
is a mental problem.
Ma'am.
And women and children are suffering because of
this.
And you all know I'm right.
Ma'am.
And you're all cowards.
Excuse me.
That's what I'm saying. You're all a bunch of cowards because you know that sex is real and gender is nothing.
Okay.
And you lie and women and children are being hurt.
So Mike Weissman, Representative Mike Weissman, who has apparently removed his Twitter account, got up from behind his seat where the great man was listening to testimony and imposed his male body. He didn't touch her, but stood threateningly by her until she was moved out and left. And yes, she was harassed through her entire testimony. You heard the woman say, "I'm not going to sit and listen to this." That was a lawmaker who couldn't stand the virtue signaling. Well, in other words, couldn't stand not signaling virtue. That's the second of three clips in our Tower Babbling segment. In Rhode Island, the school people come right out and say they need to be able to groom kids in secret.
I don't think parents should be notified simply because society assumes that every child has a well-meaning family culture that is accepting of this. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is involve a parent in some of these issues based on their own beliefs and their own culture. And that will cause that student to commit suicide. If you tell a student who's trusted you, who has come out to say that I'm lesbian, and you now go back and tell the parent, that child has no faith in that school system ever again and will never come forward with any information.
There is no reason on earth for children to share their sexual feelings with teachers. There is not now, nor will there ever be a reason for children to do that. To hide it from parents because of their cultural beliefs are your cultural beliefs. You know what we could do is consult the Word of God. Whose job is it to raise the kids upright? It's the parents' job. And yes, I think Satan is using that as a trial run as well to remove the parents as the prime authority in people's lives. Young people. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
We wrap up the show usually with a personal observation from me, and it's just a trait. You guys are so kind to spend this hour with us, and we're on every weekday from this time. What were we at? 10 a.m. Pacific Coast through 11 a.m., and I'm not doing the math well, shifting across the country because it's national. But it's a chance to share a little bit about the rodeo clown that God has allowed to host this hour in AFR. Thank you for that. I answered a question incorrectly the other day. A friend of mine asked me a question about what percentage of a kid's identity is the result of parenting? We were just talking about this in the gym. If I'm not at church or doing a church activity, recording a show, or with my family, I'm in the gym. That's what I do. It's my hunting. It's my fishing. It's my Super Bowl watching. It's my golf. It's where I'm at. So we're having this conversation warming up, and my friend just asked me, what percentage of a kid, how a kid turns out, do you think is the result of parenting? And I was picturing the entire lifespan of a kid. In other words, I'm still someone's kid. My mom is still alive. I'm still her kid. So what percentage of me is the responsibility of my mom? And I'd answered 30%, way off, way off. I got to go apologize to her, say I've thought more about this, way off. The answer is it's completely up to us. I watched my dad as a model of how to be a man. My dad was really, really obese. I became really, really obese. After I quit playing football and wrestling, I ballooned up to almost 400 pounds. As I speak to you today, I weigh 202.5 pounds. I watched my dad deal with frustration by punching walls. So I punched walls. But I watched my dad deal with children by, as hard as it was for him to do, taking a knee, looking them in the eye, dealing with them gently, with great love and with great gentility, and fierceness when necessary to defend them. Watched him do that a few times. I watched my dad medicate, self-medicate, when life became too much with wine. Didn't realize till years later, then my own therapist said, your dad was an alcoholic. She determined that by reading his autopsy. She was a psychiatrist, though not a pill pusher. I medicated with wine when my life became really tough. One of the reasons I don't drink wine now and can't stand the taste of it, or wine culture. No offense, I know a lot of people like wine culture, not me. So in the case of my dad, it was about 50-50, good and bad. In the case of my mom, she often says to me, take a break. You work so much. You and your sister work so much. My mom worked 3 jobs after my dad left the home. My mom never stopped working. I think the work ethic I have comes from her, perhaps my grandpa. But it is the behaviors we watch that influence. It's not necessarily the words we speak. I had to break the bad habits of my father. I had to do that with friends and support, and I'm hoping to break something else. My wife's family, my family, there's all this divorce in the background. My wife and I are still married. It's been struggles sometimes. We just had a great weekend together, such a beautiful weekend. So thankful that we got to do that. We want to be the people who break that curse of divorce. Sometimes marriage is hard. It's work. I never got to see that modeling. I never got to see my parents work at it. Nor did I get to see my dad work out with his second wife. Never got to observe that. I got to observe it because I was adopted into a family of Christian people who intentionally placed their marriage first. Beginning at 5 o'clock in the morning, whenever sunrise was, it was a habit. Every time they were together, they saw the sunrise together with coffee and the Word of God. It's up to us how much influence we have on our kids, and it's not going to come through our words. It's going to come through our behaviors as inspired by the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God decides you and I can speak again together, on behalf of Randy and the AFR team, thank you. And may God's peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your family. I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.